Hey, everybody. Welcome to Guilt by Association Football, Episode 6.
Hey.
What's that?
Here we go. All right. A little bit slow this week as far as transfer news goes.
Yeah, not much happened.
Yeah, not much happened.
Couple balls.
I disagree with that.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's go.
So we have some Yank news, I guess. Michael Bradley is playing. He played 18 minutes for Chievo Verona.
It's a start.
It's 18 something.
18 more minutes than all of us combined.
That's accurate.
Yeah, that's actually
And 18 factual. More minutes than Jermaine Jones.
Ooh. Also very true. Jermaine Jones is buried somewhere on that Schalke depth chart. I would be shocked if he got in any first team matches prior to the winter break, where hopefully he'll get another move somewhere. Ogunchenye, who scored today. That's something positive.
And he's playing. He's scoring a goal.
The big winner against bottom feeders of the Portuguese Liga.
Hey, shut up. It's goals.
If Gooch scores, it's cause for celebrations.
It's good. I mean, granted, he did score off a corner, and I'm pretty sure he's 6 inches taller than everyone else in the field, but...
Gooch scores off
a
corner.
Is there another way for him to score besides off a corner?
No.
Or a set piece of any kind?
It's a Gooch header, and then the sun sets.
What does that mean?
I do seem to recall the AC Milan summer tour in America when he first signed on there.
Playing as a forward?
Yes. Yeah, I remember that.
So maybe there is hope.
Let's not
as
do
a
that.
Forward.
Yeah,
for goals outside of set pieces.
Wait, is he your Jan Koller? Is that what you're open for? He's the American
Bad Jan Koller and... scored against us in the World Cup. Did
you shut your goddamn mouth?
I'm not happy about that.
That was inappropriate.
It's not like that was the goal that knocked
that
us
broke
out. We're all out.
That broke podcast etiquette. And if you've been listening to any of this, you know that it's pretty hard to break podcast
no etiquette.
there's literally no etiquette. The only other real news is Bob Bradley confirmed?
Question mark?
To Egypt?
Third week in a row we're bringing this up, probably.
Basically, he didn't get the Santos job, and he might get the Egypt job. So, nothing's really changed.
Okay, he has a job if he wants it.
So,
he's been offered.
So, he might have the job, maybe.
I think he should take it. I mean, still...
You could always get a cool house and a Sphinx.
You could get a Sphinx.
Yeah, you could get your very own Sphinx. And if Bob Bradley were to die in Egypt, would they build him a pyramid?
No. No, they would bury him in a hole. Just outside of Giza, just bury him in a corner.
A corner?
A corner.
Specifically a corner?
It depends how much of a success they would consider going to the World Cup would be for Egypt.
Well
they have
considering
been there for a
that,
while.
Yeah, and considering that they just...
Considering they only seem to be able to win
African
Cup
of
Nations, yes.
And they didn't even qualify for the
one of
January. So I'm pretty sure a World Cup berth would be phenomenal for Egypt right now. So will Bob Bradley be the man to do it?
It's the same thing with us. They need a better pool. I mean, they've got a few nice pieces, but they're not going to win a cup anytime soon.
No,
I don't think he could get them to the World Cup.
Africa's got a lot of quality players, to be honest. I feel like it's very underrated. In the last World Cup, we saw some African teams advancing, you know, out of the group stage in the round of 16 quarterfinals.
And they're not doing particularly well after that, but...
Well, you know, welcome to CONCACAF.
We're not talking about how poorly we did, but...
Okay.
Okay, there that is.
There was the whole African might win a World Cup this time, and then they didn't really do that well.
All right, so U.S. news, I guess you could say. Jurgen Klinsmann is going to scour the globe for American dual nationals. I mean, is that really anything new? I mean, Thomas Rongen gave him a list of 500 names. I don't know if he has to scour the globe anywhere to find new players.
I mean, I'm eligible.
You're a dual national?
I'm eligible.
Yeah, I too am eligible.
I have pedigree with the national team, I should say.
What kind of pedigree would that be other than the fact that you've won the World Cup multiple times?
My great-grandfather was actually the backup goalkeeper in 1930.
That is pedigree.
Or third-string goalkeeper or something way down there.
But he was...
He wasn't even a professional. This should be mentioned.
Well, none
that
of
was
were.
The state
yeah,
of the U.S.
None
national
of them
team.
Were.
Yeah, the guy who beat England was a dishwasher. Okay.
Who then disappeared.
Yeah, who then wasn't even an...
He wasn't even a citizen.
Yeah, he was not a citizen.
He played for Haiti after it.
Yeah, he said, hey, I intend on being a citizen. And they said, all right.
That's good enough
that's
for
awesome.
Us.
That's awesome. Okay, so this is a question that we posed, being a slow news week.
Hence the really boring podcast at this point.
Yeah, to this point being slow and boring. World Cup starts tomorrow. Tomorrow. Who goes? Tomorrow.
Is this the one in the U.S., or are we going to say this one's in Brazil?
Well, the World Cup...
We're hosting it
in Malaysia. Is that going to influence who's on your team at all?
Oh, yes.
We're hosting it in Malaysia. Go from there.
Okay.
Being hosted in Malaysia.
We're going to host it on the island.
I have a team of Lee Wins, then.
He's Vietnamese.
So what? Okay. We don't have to pay to fly him that far.
Okay, I'm afraid to ask, but Rob, give us your 23.
Is Lee Wynn on your 23?
Keepers. No, he is not. Timmy Howard? Duh. Bradley Guzan? I am assuming Timmy Howard would start, but...
Over a non-playing Brad Guzan?
Oh, yes. Well, this is taking place tomorrow, but looking at 2014, I think it could be a closer situation.
Well,
but
that's
going
good.
Tomorrow,
that's
Howard's
good for 2014. That's for the next boring podcast.
And then, even with it being tomorrow, I still think with the third keeper who wouldn't play anyway, you'd bring Hamid just for the experience. So, defenders, I have seven.
We
have
seven.
Timmy Chandler, Goodson, Lehigh, Ream.
Lehigh is
injured.
Injured
Eric Lehigh.
He's having some pretty stiff hip issues.
He's out for a month.
Yeah.
Whatever. Ream, Boca.
we're bringing Lehigh.
Tolo, Borgstein. That was what I would have done with Charlie Davies. I would have just said if I was Bradley, fuck it. He's coming anyway. I don't care.
And that's why you're not managing.
Because Davies with one leg was better than a lot of the strikers we brought along.
Only Finley.
And that's why they never called you back for an interview.
Midfielders. I've got 10 of them.
Wait. You do realize that the Americans are running a 4-3-3, right?
Just hear me out. A lot of these midfielders are attacking.
Maybe that's not how Rob wants to play the World Cup tomorrow.
So let's hear it.
Does Rob want to play with
Donovan,
3-6-0? And...
Donovan, Jones, Jr., Holden, Shea. So we're saying Shea's a midfielder, even though he's more of a winger.
Right.
Shea, Dempsey, Adu, Torres, Bedoya, and Freddie Adu.
Adu makes your World Cup roster right
yes.
now?
Yes.
Okay.
I still can't shake the visions of what he did at the end against Panama in the semis of the Gold Cup and then the final against Mexico.
What role does he play on your team?
The bench role.
So he just sits it the whole time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe you bring him on if you're really desperate and things look really bleak and you just want to try and spice it up like... Against the Panama semifinal match when we just looked like we had no creativity at all. And then strikers, Altidore, Swagudelo, and Robbie Finley.
Why?
Because he's playing for Forest and he's scoring goals.
You know what Forest is right now?
In the championship.
Ass. They are absolute, in the words of Ryan McCauley, ass.
Okay, but
are you talking shit on the tricky trees?
Is he playing and scoring goals, yes or no?
He scored how many? How many goals did he score?
He scored more than anyone else.
Three? Four?
No, not four.
Three?
Is that three?
I believe we made a bet about this.
We did. But to this point, how many American forwards are playing abroad?
Double-digit goals, you get Vicky Guerrero or Blogie.
What?
Where's the rewind button?
Oh, boy. This is...
Okay, so moving on.
Anyway.
Who's saying their team next?
Okay. I'm not done with you.
We're still on Finley here.
I'm not letting this go. So the U.S. is going to play a 4-3-3, which means we have a lone striker up top. And what qualifies Robbie Finley to play that at all?
The championship is better than the MLS.
You once again are assuming that Rob wants to play a 4-3-3.
Oh, so Rob is manager of this World Cup team.
Well, if I'm picking
it's
the
his
team.
Roster.
Yes, I'm picking the team, and Jürgen's going to coach it.
Okay.
No, that's not true. That's me being sarcastic.
No. Rob wants Robbie. Rob gets Robbie.
Exactly.
Okay. I can deal with that. Ryan?
I've got Timmy Howard starting in goal. The backup is Nick Raimondo, who is... playing better than anyone, I think, right now, including Tim Howard, honestly.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, Raimondo, that's the backup spot. And I agree, Hamid shows up as the young whatever. He's there. My back line, I've got Bocanegra, Chandler, Tarundolo, Goodson, and that's basically, oh, I'll take Johnson. He's hurt. Lehigh, fuck, he's hurt too. Gooch has been hurt. Let's just go with George John, no longer injured Zach Lloyd, and Danny Williams. Because...
And a partridge and a pear tree.
He plays right back, so why not give him a shot?
Why not? It's a recession.
It's a recession. Why not Danny Williams?
Things can't get any worse.
The midfield, I got Beckerman, Bradley, Diskerud, Donovan, Edu, Klustjian, Shea, Spector, and Torres coming in.
Spector's in midfield for you?
Spector's been playing right right mid for Birmingham all season, so.
I don't see why not.
He's a midfielder. He hasn't been a defender to anyone not named Bob Bradley in a year and a half, so.
True.
Yeah, Torres gets the nod as my ninth midfielder, I guess. And then my four forwards are Agudelo, Altidor, Edson Buttle, and Clint Dempsey.
Okay.
That's fair. I can see that.
All right.
I've got Howard, Raimondo, provided he wears manpriest.
Right, yes. If he wears manpriest, he might start for me, because it makes him Superman.
Yeah.
And he saves every penalty kick ever.
Or forces guys who are insanely good at PKs to sky them over the bar.
To miss them.
This is why we have nice things.
Because of manpriest.
Yeah, because of manpriest. And then Bill Hamid, yeah, bring him along. And it's not like he's a bad keeper anyway.
Pretty good.
So, you know, if literally the worst were to happen, I wouldn't be against him filling in. Defense, in light of Fabian Johnson being injured, Zach Lloyd and Edgar Castillo, because I'm not putting Jonathan Bornstein back there. It's not going to happen. Ryan... Don't writhe in pain. Do you have... What's a better idea?
Don't bring him.
He's trying to spare us of one of his...
Bring an extra midfielder.
Legendary farts.
Bring an extra midfielder.
Do we really need to talk about farts in this podcast?
I ignored it. You brought it back up.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
This one's on you, Ben.
Yeah, this is completely
I buried fault. You brought it back up.
For right back, Tim Chandler, Steve Tarundolo. I don't even think that's a contest. I mean, there's really nobody who can challenge their
quality.
I've
got Chandler at left back by default, so.
By default, because you refuse to bring other left backs other than Zach Lloyd?
Who is playing right back right now?
Playing right back?
If I have to replace Lehigh.
You do, because he's not walking.
You right take now. Your pick.
This is your team, Rob.
Of Danny Kayla and Marvell Wynn.
I won't
pick. I bring an extra cone. I put a cone at center back.
Okay.
I bring Jimmy Conrad.
He might die, though, if he plays.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, there is that. Center back, I had Bocanegra, Goodson, and then
Who's your left back?
We talked about
who's your starting left back?
Who's my starting left back? Yes. Zach Lloyd.
Fair enough.
I mean, that's not the best. Yeah, it is a recession. I had Bocanegra, Goodson, George John, and Omar Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. And at midfield, I had Mo Edu. I'm changing things up a little bit now that I have looked at this. Mo Edu, Michael Bradley, Jose Torres, Kyle Beckerman, Mix, and Landon Donovan. I would bring Stu Holden, but he hasn't played yet, and I know he's healthy and he's going to play tomorrow.
He's playing tomorrow,
but if it's going to start tomorrow, he still hasn't played.
Well, look what happened when we started Gooch against England.
Worked out pretty well.
Okay, but
we drew.
But that's a completely different animal.
Not particularly.
No, it is. You got Gooch.
Gooch was a mobile to begin with.
Yeah, and Stu would be relied on for vision, touch,
and defensive ability as a whole.
And being a boss.
And it's not as if we're hurting for other options with defensive abilities in the midfield.
It's fair.
It is not a recession in the midfield.
No, absolutely not. At forward, I had Altidore and Agudelo taking the central forward spot. And then on the wings, between Breck Shea, Clint Dempsey, Josh Gatt, and Beasley. They can split it up there. Beasley's been rock solid in Mexico. I'm surprised that he hasn't... I'm surprised that he wasn't called up for the last batch of friendlies.
I have Beasley on my domestic 23, but not on my full 23.
How close is he to your full 23?
Not very.
Not very?
Not very.
Well, why?
He's behind Graham Zusi, if that gives you any indication.
Well, Graham Zusi, as we have already discussed, is a boss.
He's sexual.
He is very sexual. See, but I think that Beasley is playing at a higher level right now, higher standard of play, and he's just got it's Beasley, and he's on form. What I think more do you want?
If you're talking about wing options, he's behind Donovan for me. He's behind Shea. He's behind Bedoya, behind Gatt, behind Discrude. He kind of is a winger. He's behind Kluschen for me. He's behind Spectre for me. So he's no higher than eighth as a wing option.
Ow. My pride.
That's it. If you ask me, he's no higher than
if you're part of this podcast, you have no pride.
That's very true.
Yeah.
It's been lost long ago.
I sold it as soon as we agreed to start episode one.
Speaking of... Now I'll talk about this.
Speaking of pride...
Now I'll talk about it later.
No? Okay. So there you go. 23 players. If the World Cup were to start tomorrow, we should just do that for any boarding podcast. So if the World Cup were to start in a week...
Let's do a bunch of different random starting 23s.
Yeah, that's okay. I can do that.
A team of Altidores.
1 through 23, Josie Altidore.
Actually, on the spot, if you could pick one Nat to clone 10 times and have a team of actually 11 one player... Who do you pick?
Okay, this is no contest, and I would win the World Cup, and then I would probably go and take over some country with Frankie Hayduck. I would have 11 Frankie Hayducks.
You'd have an army of
Frankie Hayducks.
I mean, they basically are 11 commandos and could do a lot of damage. Think like... They have the power of 300 Spartans and 11 people.
Frankie Hayduck right now, or Frankie... Like 3 years ago.
Frankie Hayduck right now with about 9 shots of espresso like he does before every match.
Do you trust Frankie in goal as a forward option? That's my concern.
I trust him as an American.
That's not my question. if you have to pick one player to play all 11 positions, you pick Frankie Hayduck?
No.
I don't disagree because Frankie's the fucking man.
Yeah, I
disagree.
Who would you pick?
Not that he's the man, but that I'd pick him.
Frankie's the man.
I would take 11 Michael Bradleys.
I can see that because
he's a hard worker. I could honestly see him doing any position respectably.
Respectively?
Yes.
I didn't realize that you thought about Bradley in that way, bro.
We all do.
I think he'd be a... stout defender since he's shown that he can be that kind of box-to-box guy. He can get forward. I don't know about him on the wings.
He played a spot of wing in Holland, but then that's Holland.
Yeah, but
that's
It's just very difficult to have a guy who can play every position. But I think Bradley might be the closest thing we'd have.
If I'm being serious...
I can see that.
Clint Dempsey. He started off in MLS as a central midfielder, so he can play that position.
He was a defensive midfielder.
He was a defensive midfielder.
But so I must say, with Bradley, he would get enough yellow cards that you need another 11 Michael Bradleys ready to go.
You would not finish a game with 11 Michael Bradleys.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But in all seriousness, Clint Dempsey, for sure, he started out as a defending midfielder, and he gradually moved forward. So, yes, that would be an offensive lineup. But I think he can pull it off. I mean, he's big enough. We're in goal. I trust him. He's got strong. Oh, that's right. We'll just have 11. No, he's not lazy. Since the Confederations Cup, Deuce's effort has been fine.
Basically, ever since he and Bob had that heart-to-heart talk.
Had that man-to-man chat.
Yes.
That man the Bob Bradley talk.
So what are you saying Bob Bradley is?
Man to robot?
Not a man. It's
a man, man to android.
Cyborg. What about you, Ryan? I'm sure you've been sitting on this.
No, I just thought about it right now. Brad is a good pick, but I don't know if he provides the wing presence like you said. Dempsey's a good pick, but at this point in his career, I don't think you can bring him to be fit enough to play the same position have him play, you know, left back for 90.
He is MB.
I should say with Bradley, though, to offset that lack of a wing presence, I'd go with something like a 4-3-1-2.
Force the game inside?
Yes.
So basically play like an Italian style with Bradley?
Yes.
Yeah, so Dempsey, what do you play Dempsey as? What's his formation?
0-0-10?
I would do a similar formation to that because I'd want the play moving through the middle. He's obviously very good in the middle. I mean, it's not like he's not good on the wings, but I don't think like a 4-3-3 suits him. I could see doing like a 4-2-3-1, something like that. Or maybe a 4-1-4-1.
Have three tweeners, which is perfect for Dempsey.
Yeah, absolutely.
I go with Breck Shea because he's played forward. He's played
left mid.
He's played left back. He's played center back. He's played pretty much everything. His right foot, I'm not sure how good it is, really. But
his left foot's
fucking awesome. I don't mind him playing right back. I don't mind him playing right wing. And if you're talking about someone playing in goal, from a non-goalkeeper perspective, I want someone with height.
Yeah.
Dempsey and Bradley are both 6'1". Shea's 6'3". So he might be a bit softer in goal.
But is he 6'3 with the hair, or is he 6'3 minus the hair?
He's 6'3 flat, like standard, like buzz cut.
Okay.
But I don't really know.
It's very crucial.
It is.
But still, I think those 2 extra inches, even if you're not as good, it still gives you a little more room to make a save.
I think I might want either a team of Mixes or a team of Stu Holdens, just because then we can get that Paul Mitchell sponsorship that I've been craving.
The more I think about the more Greg I want Shea, a team of Frankie Haydukes.
Yeah. Well, don't
have 11 guys on the field capable of 2-foot tackles.
I have next week's 23, so we're good to go.
Already?
23
Frankie. What is next week's 23?
We'll see you in a week.
Okay.
Ah,
cliffhanger for the people who watch it. Listen to us.
Both of them.
So with that,
none of them.
So with that, we were just talking 23-man roster. So we were planning on this over the weekend. Saw two guys, very young, only 17, starting in the MLS.
And 16.
Is Pfeffer still 16?
He turns 17 in January.
He turns or turned?
Turns 17 in January. Okay. This kid was born in 95.
So, gosh.
He was born after the 94 World Cup.
But that shit, like, I feel old. Thinking about that.
We've wasted our lives.
Yeah. I've done nothing with my life if there's a guy who is younger than I am starting in MLS right now. So you got Pfeffer and Luis Gil for Real Salt Lake, who has been starting, I believe, 6 or 7 matches in a row at this point for RSL.
Pretty consistently.
So how do you guys...
I've been shitting on him for a year.
And you have literally eaten...
I have literally eaten the shit. I have eaten the shit. I've become Ron Burgundy in the extended edition, and I'm eating the cat poop. I'm eating the cat poop. I'm gladly eating it because Luis Gil has turned into a pretty decent player.
So far, and he's still got plenty of years of development left.
Yeah, I will gladly eat the poop in that regard.
So what do you guys think? 23-man roster, would Jurgen do something a la Rooney with England?
Walcott with England?
Well, yeah, Walcott with England,
Walcott
especially.
And the other guy who's never been capped before?
I forget who that was.
I don't know.
But you give him a spot on the roster, and he comes along, and he's there for the experience. It's because you figure, or you're that confident in knowing that in 4 years, he's going to be on that squad and playing an important role.
Well, that, I think that if it was, say, Bob Bradley or Bruce Arena or another American coach... who generally seems to be more conservative, that would never happen. But with Klinsmann, I'd give it a slight chance. Not necessarily a guarantee slam dunk, but a chance.
Klinsmann's very fond of the young player.
He's very...
And Pfeffer really came out of nowhere to get the start this past weekend against
Columbus. I think Bob got a bad rap for young players, but he's still...
He kept so many players, though. So he gave a lot of players a chance. He really did. Now, Gil, I think, would be more likely because he's performing at the club level. If you didn't see his goal that he had, his second goal, the first goal was all right, but the second one was phenomenal shot.
Pretty nasty.
It was very nasty. And he's playing for Real Salt Lake, a quality team, unlike the Union. which what do you are mean shit.
They're stowing up right.
No,
up right now.
I know.
Oh,
I'm just
really?
Giving,
shit.
I'm just giving Rob shit because I can.
Fair enough.
I think. I mean, I personally would be
in the next pay per view.
Bitch. I personally would be against handing a spot to one of these guys on the because, in my opinion, as a coach of an international squad, you have nothing more valuable to hand a player than a World Cup slot. Like, nothing.
I agree, and there would certainly be players more deserving, especially when players like Gil or Pfeffer will have their chance in future World Cups to make the team.
I mean, and I'm not saying that a guy like Gil isn't a quality player. Not at all. In fact, I could definitely see him. He could get capped in January. I don't see why not.
And for
Agudelo got capped after doing nothing at the club level. He hadn't even played that much.
Here's a question for you. With Bob leaving and Jurgen coming in, is Camp Cupcake dead?
No, it's not. I think he said that he's going to keep doing it.
Did he?
Yeah, like he said, you know, they asked him about it because that's an obvious question.
Yeah.
Is, you know, being a European coach, is he going to keep the emphasis? But he did have a couple of interesting things to say. I think that, well, this year we're going to see January, I think, be a serious Olympic tryout.
Yeah, that's very true.
And you're going to probably get a couple of the old...
Which I cannot wait for the Olympics. I can't
oh,
wait.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's going to be... The Olympics, you know what? That should be
basketball and football. That's all I need. Ugh.
Basketball, football, team handball.
Dude.
Olympic basketball is phenomenal.
Field hockey.
Field hockey.
Field hockey, men's field hockey, the final against Germany and the Netherlands. I was into that shit.
Really?
What about the USA-Spain final in basketball in the last Olympics?
Just basketball, I'm the shit.
I don't
you
give
love
two
basketball.
Shits.
That's your opinion.
Okay. I have opinions.
But yeah, I agree. Our Olympic squad, if we're going to be able... I don't think it's impossible for us to reach the semis. Be in position for a medal. It's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, gosh, Gil, Altidore, Agudelo.
That can be for a later podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Discussion. And then we can talk about the
and we're
going
to have overage players now, as opposed... to the last time when we had World Cup qualifying at the same time.
Yeah. We brought fucking...
Michael Parkhurst, Brad Guzan, and Brian McBride.
A 90-year-old Brian McBride.
You know, yikes. I'm not against that. I say we bring Frankie Hayduk, and he's captain.
Captain Frankie.
Captain death from above.
Or death from below, because he's so short, and he's going to 2-foot tackle you.
Death from your... just from your ankle.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, you know, those younger guys, that's not a bad idea. Okay, that is definitely a later podcast subject.
Yeah, that's a long discussion. Okay. Speaking of death from your ankles, MLS Top 5. Robbie, as this is your child, let's give her a run.
Number 5, I believe, I don't want to be held to that, but I believe I had Kansas City at 5 last week.
I don't know.
And I am keeping them there. They did lose, but it was a 1-0 loss at Real Salt Lake, and there's no shame in that. Unlike my number 4 team, who I was really struggling to decide if they deserved to be 4 or 5, Dallas, coming off a very unimpressive draw in front of 18 people, I believe.
I believe they lost.
They may they have lost. Had less fans at their CONCACAF Champions League match than we have people listening to this podcast. But I digress.
You do digress.
RSL digress. Stays at 3. Continue to play well. Seattle, 2. Again, continuing to play well. They got the win midweek in CONCACAF Champions League on the road. And Galaxy, they got robbed in Mexico. Can't hold that against them.
And then they went out and beat the crap.
And then they took out their anger on...
just punch the Canadians.
And then Robbie Keane introduced them to the Irish Hammer or something.
The Rolling Thunder.
So, yeah, Sporting Kansas City, Dallas, RSL, Seattle, Galaxy.
Right?
Yeah, once again, Columbus and Colorado keep just tumbling off this list. And they've been in the top 5 before for me, and they're just fucking... just, they're just dropping like you wouldn't believe.
They're just fucking.
Yeah, they're fucking. I was close to having a new enter the top five, and there might be one next week, depending on their result. But again,
I think I know who that is.
I think you're right.
It rhymes with Flipadelphia.
Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't.
Flipadelphia.
My five is Sporting KC. Yeah, like you said, losing at Salt Lake by one goal is not something to feel bad about.
From what I hear, Kyle Beckerman was quoted as saying it was the worst game he has ever played in.
Yeah, and Beckerman's been all over the place recently, so we can give him a little
33 fouls in that one on Saturday night, Kansas City RSL match.
Damn.
What else you got?
It's a big number. Number four, I got Dallas. You'd hope to take a point after scoring, 27 seconds into the game. And taking a point in Champions League is decent. You want a home win, but a point's not the worst thing. Losing to the Red Bulls, it's pretty bad. Even without Shea, it's still not something you want. So Dallas is kind of losing my affection, I guess. Three, Real Salt Lake. They're still playing well. Romando's still playing out of his mind. So I'll select my five. Seattle was looking to jump into that number one spot after winning on the road and then dismantling United. Montero is on a tear right now. He had four goals in three games, had an assist against DC. Just crushed DC.
Oh yeah, once Dallas get back Breck Shea, that's going to be quite the top four seeds in the Western Conference.
Yeah, it's going to be stacked. And then number one, Galaxy. Yeah, like you said, they got shafted in Mexico, which...
A goal called offside, which would have won the game after Morella? Morella?
The Mexicans.
Whatever. Tied it back up. Was it Keane who got robbed of the second goal?
Yeah, Keane got robbed.
And then the game winner came, just like that.
And then... said LA was about to drop, and then they throttled Vancouver. Brian Jordan with two assists, Beckham with two hockey assists. McGee took two goals, and Keane has one of each. So LA stands number one.
The one McGee header, if you haven't seen it, is very, very nice.
Yeah, for a little guy, it's nice.
So real quickly here, I have Philadelphia at five. It was a nice win. They finally got back on track.
One win and you're back in the top five.
Listen, it wasn't...
We have no standards!
Well, does that kind of just speak to the state of MLS right now?
Maybe the East.
Yeah, that's very true. Okay, now...
Don't think much of MLS outside of the top four. Dallas, Salt Lake, Seattle, and LA.
Okay, anyway, Sporting Kansas City... I mean, it was a product of Philadelphia finally winning. I think that they have the tools, the players, which they need to make a fairly decent run into the playoffs. You know, I mean, they've got Freddie Adu, Danny Mwanga, Sebastian Letou. They have firepower, and hopefully this is the first sign of them actually starting to use it. Number four, FC Dallas is still there. I mean, honestly... Everyone knows that the Red Bulls have quality players. Okay, so losing to the Red Bulls, even at home, there's not a ton of shame in that. RSL still at three, and they're playing well, but it's only because the two teams in front of them are playing that well. Seattle and LA, Seattle winning in impressive fashion. Same with LA. At this point, I'm pretty dead set on seeing a Seattle-LA final.
Which can't happen.
Yeah, which literally can't happen. So, I would probably go with
LA. So, thanks, MLS.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Thanks for breaking it in the conferences, you bastards.
They never... Well, okay, so I guess at the start they did break it into conferences, but they were never single table to begin with.
Correct.
But they should be.
Yeah, that's your opinion.
Okay. Well, we'll see whose opinion it is when we see LA playing some second-rate MLS team in the championship game.
I believe that's what everyone thought when they played RSL. Am I correct?
And they still think that.
And they still think that. All right, so we're going to wrap things up with the Yank of the Week. Ryan, Yank of the Week.
My Yank of the Week is Edson Buttle, scoring a brace for Ingolstadt. He's been playing quite well since the hop overseas. He's got, I think, 6 goals. Yeah, 6 goals in 22 games since hopping over. So Edson Buttle is my Yank of the week.
I have to go with the same thing. Edson Buttle, 2 nice headers, scoring in Germany. I mean, 2 goals anytime that you can get a brace is nice.
My Yank of the week is Alex Morgan. Beautiful face, thick thighs, full lips. My Yank of the week is Onye Wu, the winner for Sporting. Not only is he playing, but now he's scoring goals, so it's Gooch. So Yank, Morgan, Yank, Gooch.
This is why we can't have nice things. There are no nice things.
It's nice to see Rob has come back to trying to be the asshole of the podcast after my rant.
I'm pretty sure I make you two look very nice.
You've regained the crown as the asshole of the podcast.
Congratulations.
Mission accomplished.
All right, lady and gentlemen listening to the podcast. And I don't know if you enjoyed that last part, but we hope you did. We'll see you next week.
And I'm sorry, Alex Morgan.